At the DGDG Mazda stores, we make car buying affordable. Hey, this is Sean Del Graham for Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. And we make car buying more affordable with sweet dealer discounts, low APR financing, low monthly lease payments, and even gas-saving plug-in hybrids. Come see how easy and affordable car buying can be at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Financing on approval of credit.
Coming to you from the heart of Silicon Valley,
this is CUDA Confidential,
the official podcast of the San Jose Barracuda, AHL affiliate of the San Jose Sharks. Now, here's your host, Nick Nolenberger.
Hey, Barracuda fans, welcome back to CUDA Confidential. I'm Nick Nolenberger. In this episode, we'll be joined by a player who just signed a one-year AHL contract with the Barracuda back in June, the day after winning a Memorial Cup championship with the Saginaw Spirit, where he served as the team's captain. His dad, Conrad, has been the director of officiating for the OHL for more than 15-plus years, and he was drafted in the seventh round of the 2021 NHL Entry Draft, 210th overall, by the Florida Panthers. We are pleased to welcome Braden Hache to the CUDA Confidential podcast. Welcome back to CUDA Confidential. We are very pleased to be joined by one of the newer members of the organization, defenseman Braden Hache, fresh off a Memorial Cup championship with the Saginaw Spirit. Have you come down yet after that championship that you captured earlier this month?
Not really. I don't know if I ever will. But no, it was a whirlwind for the past couple of weeks. So coming down a little bit now, getting into the swing of things back home. But yeah, special moment.
Well, what a run you guys had. As the host of the Memorial Cup, you know that you're going to play in the final. So I'm sure that is influential on just your mind frame and your mindset. That being said, as the host team, you want to put your best foot forward, and certainly you want to capture a championship. So how did that impact the group in your mind throughout the season, knowing that you guys would host the Memorial Cup, but also wanting to be a team that once you got there could actually win the thing?
Yeah, it's weird. Like going through it, you know, as the host team, like there's added pressure for sure. Like right off the hop, like, you know, like, every team's got pressure when they're, you know, maybe going for it that year. But for us, like we were the one team that was like expected to be good, expected to win every game. So, and that honestly affected us early on. Like we hit, I remember walking the rink, we've got like standings on the like right beside the door, and we hit dead last, like in the OHL. Like I think we were 4-8. It was bad. We were like one, in our minds, you know, loss away from the team being blown up kind of thing. And, but we overcame that. We ended up going on a 10 game win streak after that, and then just crawling back throughout the year. But, I think it was so beneficial for us, like later on, because we started so low, like every game was a must win for us, like going into it. Like we treated it like a playoff game seven, like do or die. Every game we played, just crawling our way back up the standings. And then we'd get up there and then shoot ourselves in the foot, or, you know, something would happen where we'd fall. But yeah, no, like the pressure was definitely hard, but I think what we went through throughout the year ended up, you know, we were comfortable when it came to the biggest situations in the Memorial Cup. So
you spent some time in various cities during your OHL career. You were in Kingston. You spent some time in Barrie as well. In fact, you were a teammate of Sharks prospect Ethan Cardwell. We'll dive into Cards a little bit as you two will be reunited, but you finished up in Saginaw, and I thought your post-championship interview was awesome. It was really emotional, really honest. But one thing you mentioned is you may spend the rest of your life in Saginaw.
For your team, what can you say about this group of guys?
Hey, we fought through everything. There was not a single person in the world that thought we were going to win this thing. Every tweet, every fake story, everything that we battled through, they all had us going 0-3. They had us out of here, and look at where we are, champs. I can't. It's great. It's family for life. I honestly don't think I'll ever leave Saginaw. I think I'm here forever.
What will you remember?
We did it!
What will you remember most about this team at the Memorial Cup?
It's family. Like, we just etched our name in history. I've never been a champion. Like, my whole life, never won a tournament, all that stuff. It's the best feeling in the world. I owe it to these guys, this staff. This is the best organization in the CHL.
How did you get set for this game? You came out unbelievably. You allowed one shot in the first period.
Hey, Like, honestly, like, my suit from game six of the conference finals is still sitting in my stall in the room. And it's been there. We've thought about it. We've had it. And, you know, to get our revenge for the cup, like, I'm speechless.
Enjoy the win. Thank you.
Thank you.
At least have some sort of connection to the city. So what was it about Saginaw? Because you spent the 1 year there, you wore the C, obviously a special group. When you win a championship, those are going to be your brothers for life. But what was it about just the way the team kind of embraced you, the city embraced you, and how you fell in love with the area?
Yeah, it's funny. I was at a skate the other day and they were like, oh, you finally left kind of thing. Honestly, like I blacked out during that interview. Like it was funny to watch back because, you know, I didn't even really know what I was saying. But no, it's such a special place. Like after being there for a year, like I didn't really know much about it. You know, I played in the East the whole way. I just kind of knew Saginaw, you know, one of the state teams over there. But like from the moment I got traded, like it felt like I had had relationships with the staff for years. Like just the way I was welcomed in. And then obviously leading the group, like only a few weeks after being there, you know, really special. I just learned like right away, like walking in, like it was like NHL facilities, like, and just the way they run things, like owners down. And it's all about like, you know, making the next level. And obviously this year was different. It wasn't really about, you know, it was about development, but it was like, you know, we need to win every single game. And I think that it was just so special to be a part of that. And the way the city came around, like our team, like, What's really nice now after being a part of it is I'm so happy for like the ownership and the community and the staff that have worked, like our head coach Laz, like he's been there for 8 years, like Drinkle's been there, ownership's been there since the beginning. I'm so like happy for them that like finally people like they know that that's an organization that guys want to go play for. And like, I think just the work that they put into it, I'm happy that now that city is, you know, on the map in the hockey community and, you know, in the whole country really for the CHL as a winning team, and they honestly run things right. So yeah, special place. And what's nice, as I said to coach, like it either, you know, we would have lost and thought about like what if with this group forever, but now that we've won, we're connected for life. So it's a cool feeling.
I think I read, and correct me if I'm wrong, you were the first American-based OHL team to win the Memorial Cup. I don't think a OHL team based in the U.S. Yeah. Had won, if I'm not mistaken. There just hasn't been very many U.S. teams to win the Memorial Cup in the history of it. Did that weigh at all on you guys as you took on that, I guess, responsibility of sorts, or is that something that's not really on your mind?
Like, I think like, honestly, like it became like, we saw throughout the year how much like ownership had put into getting the Memorial Cup there. Like there was so much more that went into it behind the scenes, getting it to like an American city with like having to buy out sponsors and different things. And like, it's all TSN and it's a Canadian event. So like, there was so much that they had to put into it over the other Canadian cities just to get the Memorial Cup there. But no, I think like, it was just the regular pressure. Like we were another team. Like going into it, it was, you know, it's different because like the leading weeks, like we were practicing like the 2 weeks prior to after losing. And honestly, really, the only pressure was like we had two rings on the line and one's gone and like we can't lose another. That was kind of really the only pressure coming in.
So you beat London in the final. You had played London earlier in the Memorial Cup, I believe. Did you guys lose to them right in the OHL final? So very familiar with this team. You had played them a ton. So what kind of changed in the championship?
Yeah, like it was, our games were close, like in the conference finals, like lost in game six, definitely a heartbreaker. Obviously, like we had felt that, I don't know, we were so confident that, you know, we had felt that we had just lost in the OHL final. Like that was how it was. Like, you know, we knew that like the West was so deep this year, like it was crazy. Like we had a game seven, second round against Sault Ste. Marie. And, you know, then we go in and it was crazy the way it all came down, because it was the last round robin game was us versus London, and whoever won got the bye to this to Championship Sunday. So it all came down to that one game, and they tied it with like, I think it was like, I don't know, 10 seconds or something left, like not enough time, or I don't know, it could have been minutes, I don't really remember. But yeah, but honestly, I think that was a perfect route for us. Like it's hard when you get that bye, like to sit there for 4 days, you kind of, you know, it's easy to get in your head being like, yeah, we've got this thing, we just got to beat them one more time. But for us, I felt like going through the semifinal, like we stayed, like our mind stayed sharp. We never really disconnected because we didn't have enough time to, like, it was like, you know, semifinal game tomorrow, do or die. And then we won and then day off. And it was like Championship Sunday. So we never really disconnected from the game, which I felt came into our advantage of like our hot start in the first while of the game.
We're talking to Barracuda defenseman Braden Hache. Just signed a one-year AHL contract with the Barracuda to embark on his professional career after a career in the Ontario Hockey League. When you are a captain, when you are a leader, when you are an overage player, I'm sure there's a lot of growth for any guy in that final season of junior hockey. But how do you think you grew from the start of the year joining Saginaw to the end of the season?
Yeah, I think I grew a lot as a person and a player. Like our coaching staff, like with Chris Lazary, like he put a lot of faith into the leadership group. Like it was a players ran team, and he did everything he could to guide us in the right direction. And I felt like as a person, like as a leader, I grew a lot throughout the season. You know, in a season that we needed to win, it wasn't just a, hey, we'll see what happens this year. It was, we need to win. And every day it was a winning mentality. So I feel like where I grew most as a player and a person was just like attacking every day. Like we need to get better today. Like this weekend's must win, every game's must win. And that was our mentality all throughout the year. So I feel like that was the biggest thing that I'll try to, take forward into just every day. And attacking it with, we need the most out of today. And I felt like that was one of the biggest things that I'll take moving forward is attacking every day like that.
In many respects, you were groomed for that opportunity. You mentioned to me off air, you grew up essentially in Ontario. You grew up in Newmarket, Ontario, 45 minutes or so outside of Toronto. But your dad, the director of officiating for the Ontario Hockey League, was an NHL and an AHL referee. We'll dive into that a little bit, but I do want to ask, do you feel like given your background, given what your dad does for a living, do you have a little bit more understanding for how difficult being an official can be?
Yeah, definitely. Like grew up around it, lived and going to, Manchester Monarchs games back when they were LA's farm team. Like that was around the corner from home. And that's kind of where I grew up, and my love for the game kind of grew before we came to Canada. But yeah, definitely an understanding. It comes with its pros and cons for sure. But yeah.
Do you feel like you have a better understanding, maybe even an advantage because you have your dad to lean on in terms of what penalties are, what the nuances of a call is or not? Do you think that helps you?
Yeah, like it definitely did as like, just with communicating with officials, I'd say was a big thing that it helped me just growing up as a hockey player. And obviously you just have a better understanding of the rules. So sometimes that helps you out when you go to freak out on something, but then realize that it's not the way you think it is.
Did your dad ever give you a hard time if you had given an official a hard time?
Yeah, we've definitely butt heads a couple times on disagreements. He'll always take their side. So
I'm sure. But sometimes in the heat of the moment, you can't help yourself when you're in the middle of a battle. On to your next chapter. You'll be joining the Barracuda this upcoming season. We'll see you at development camp, our first time we get to see you in person. You were drafted by Florida, and we'll dive into that a little bit too. But I want to ask, when did the dialogue initially begin with the Barracuda, and why was San Jose the right choice for you in your next chapter?
Yeah, it started like during the playoffs. There was some dialogue there, and I'd hear, bits and pieces, but was also, focusing on playing at the same time. And but it ended up working out the way it did. And honestly, it was just I think opportunity, and you always want to go where you feel you're wanted. And had a couple great conversations with Joe Wilp after I had talked to my agents and stuff. And honestly, just excited. Like I think there's a lot of opportunity. Obviously, at like a high class organization that they will give players opportunities. So I'm honestly excited because I've never, I've definitely had some luck with some good weather, but no, I think I'm honestly just really excited to get going and actually come and meet everybody face to face and, get started with San Jose, obviously a dream come true. So
have you ever been to California?
I haven't. So first time I'm stoked. I'm really excited.
Have you done some research just on the organization, kind of what you're getting into?
Yeah, a little bit. Obviously, I played with Ethan Cardwell, so I chatted with him throughout dialogue with the Sharks as well and the Barracuda. And honestly, just he had so much fun this year, and honestly, just loves the organization. So that was an easy, and obviously a guy that I got along with really well and became good friends with, and Barry. And you know, he was actually at the Mem Cup as an alumni there with Saginaw. So I got chatting with him, but honestly, just I was even more excited after I talked with him just of how professional everything is there and how great things are ran. So
I want to ask, you were drafted by Florida in the 7th round back in 21. You didn't end up signing. For CHL players, there's a smaller window. It's only a couple of years before you have to sign, and then your rights are essentially released and you can sign with anybody. But I'm sure for any player, if you're drafted by an organization and then you don't sign, maybe you're a little discouraged and frustrated even. How do you continue to keep your eye on the prize, knowing that sports and being a pro hockey player is never a linear process? So how do you continue to just put your head down and work and look for the next opportunity?
Yeah. Like, I think like in the moment, I remember I was with Barry, you know, we kind of like seen, obviously they were tight with contracts at the time and it wasn't really my biggest focus. Like I was with Barry trying to win. And that was really the only thing at mine, but I was told before the playoffs, and honestly for myself, like I just took it in a way, like I'm still fortunate enough to be playing in this league and still have a shot at this. And, you know, players take different routes and you're seeing that even more and more now in the NHL and, different ways to the top. And, for myself, it was like, I could either get really down on it or just be excited at the challenge, and use it as motivation. So, I remember when I was told, I quoted it and threw it on a whiteboard, and that was on my door every day and throughout the summer and getting ready for this past season. And just use it as motivation. And
it's kind of funny. You were drafted in 2021, 210th overall. I joined the organization. I'm going into now. This will be my ninth season. In my first year with the organization, we had a guy by the name of Jake Middleton, who's established himself now as an NHL or former OHL guy. He was drafted actually 7 years prior to you, 210th overall. He was drafted by LA. He never signed. He ends up signing with the Barracuda on an AHL contract, got the NHL deal, I think the year after that. And the rest is really history. He's a NHL regular now. Just kind of a weird twist of fate, the fact that you guys come from the same league, drafted in the exact same spot. But there's a path, I think, for guys, even if they don't sign an entry-level contract, to go through the path of the American Hockey League. Draft day, what do you remember about draft day? Did you think Florida had you on their radar? And when you're drafted in the 7th round, maybe in the back of your mind, you're thinking your name might not be called at all. But what do you remember about draft day?
Yeah, it was weird. Like, it was a weird year. Like, we didn't play all season, right? And I was going back to my rookie year where I didn't play a whole lot. I had broke my foot. There wasn't like a whole lot of, I honestly didn't really have expectations for draft day. I just felt like that would, you know, sting a little harder if it didn't happen, if I did put expectations on it. But honestly, for myself, like, I had a great Zoom call with Florida like 2 weeks prior to the draft. And, I knew that maybe there was a chance if there was a later pick, but honestly, I was just sitting on my couch, had it on the TV. And I had actually answered a call from Detroit and accepted an invite to their development camp and then 2 minutes after Florida had drafted me. But it was weird because it was a commercial. So it was like, it just went to a commercial, whatever. And then it was actually my sister who was upstairs, had like the NHL website on. Cause I had said to my dad a couple minutes, I was like, oh, they've got one more pick. So we'll see what happens. And then they ended up drafting me. So it was a pretty special moment.
So you're drafted by Florida. You got the invite from Detroit before you end up getting that call. I hate that for players because you're waiting for the draft day your entire life and then they go to commercial. I've actually had quite a few guys say the exact same thing. As you get into the later rounds, they start going to breaks more and all that. But I'm still sure it was a special day for you. End up getting drafted by Florida. You actually were last year in Arizona's development camp, and we saw you a little bit during the rookie tournament as well. Those opportunities, being in an NHL facility, wearing the sweater at least for, you know, a week or so with development camp, being amongst NHL coaches and development coaches, what have you taken away from those experiences, whether it was with Florida or even last year with Arizona?
Yeah, no, it was great. Like, obviously, like going in Arizona as a free agent, I obviously felt more comfortable. I've been to, you know, two Florida camps at the time, and It's just you honestly gain so much motivation when you get around those players and coming like the buzz that you have like coming home after those camps. And you know, I won't experience this part this year, but like coming back to junior from those camps and you feel so much better than you came in even like 2 weeks before. But just the way things are ran, what it takes to be a pro, I think just anytime you get to be around those development staff and you know, they tweak little parts of your game and see things that not a lot of people see is you have to be fortunate enough to, you know, be around those people. So honestly, just try to be a sponge during all those camps. And you know, the opportunity that comes from it's crazy. Like I look at, you know, I choose to go to Arizona last year, and that rookie tournament, you could say, opened the opportunity for this new opportunity that I have. So, you know, with talking to Joe Will and different things, and like, oh, you know, we saw you in Vegas, and it's like, oh, well, you know, that's the opportunity you get out of going to these. And honestly, just fortunate enough for that.
Well, that's kind of the mindset that every young player has to take, even at the AHL level, because you've got scouts in the building almost every single night. So even if your path to the NHL isn't through one organization, it could be potentially through another. As you go into your first season of pro hockey, you mentioned the little tweaks at these camps that they make in your game. In your mind, what part of your game do you feel like you need to make the most improvement?
Yeah, I think just like going with pro, like the junior decision making is a lot, you know, slower than the pro is. And you see that after you come back from camps. And I think that, you know, making the first play really quickly is going to be the biggest thing that I need to do to be successful as the player I am. And, you know, being able to, you know, make that first pass is either going to make or break, you know, your pro career. So for myself, it'll just be, you know, playing as fast as I can. And then a lot that I worked on this year was just, you know, jumping up with the rush a little bit more, being a shutdown guy. You know, the pro guys, you know, they do that as well at fourth man ice. So those are the biggest things that I'll be focusing on, going into this season.
I don't know if you were a Leafs fan growing up or who you rooted for, but who's someone that you idolized as a kid?
Yeah, like I think honestly, like my dad's French, so we grew up as Habs fans growing up, but honestly, over the past like 5-ish years, I'd say probably the D that I watch the most would be like Eric Chernak on Tampa. That was kind of somebody who I started to see like what type of player could I try to be. And, you know, that was someone who like over the past 5 years is a guy that I've watched a lot, just the way he plays.
Do you speak any French?
I don't. When we came over to Canada, my brother was too old to go into French immersion. They didn't want to put us in separate schools. So, no, I don't. My dad's fluent, but no, I don't.
Are you able to pick up any words if he's speaking French? Do you kind of understand it to a degree?
A little bit. Like my aunt and uncle and everybody are over. Like sometimes, like I grew up being around it, but I can't pick up much, no.
So I got to ask, how do you become a defenseman?
Honestly, I was a forward until I was, I don't know, about 12-ish, 13, and then got put back on D for a couple games because we had somebody hurt, and ended up just becoming a defenseman and growing my game throughout that. But, honestly, just grew to love the position and the responsibility that comes with it.
So you're 6'3", you're around 200-plus pounds, you're a big guy. When did you hit your growth spurt? Have you always been one of the bigger kids?
Yeah, I was always a tall kid, honestly, growing up, like, was never on the shorter side. I was always tall and just kept going. So,
Well, your dad's been working in the OHL for probably as long as you can remember. Was it always a dream of yours to play in that league?
Yeah, I grew up around it, you know, going to games all the time with my brother and running around and, you know, I'd been to a bunch of Memorial Cups too. So it was definitely always a dream for me. And I always said I wanted to play on my birthday, which was May 21st. And, you know, we had the opportunity to do that this year. So it was a special to all come around full circle.
Yeah, what a way to finish your career. If you always had dreams of playing in the OHL, I don't know if you ever even considered playing U.S. college hockey, but you are essentially an American kid, although you grew up most of your life in Canada. Did you ever consider going to the U.S. and playing college hockey?
That was my mom's dream, I think. Like, my mom was born and raised in Connecticut. So obviously, like, that was what was familiar to her. And that was kind of always her dream. But, you know, growing up and playing minor hockey throughout here, you know, it's right around you, and going to OHL games every weekend and being around it. I kind of had my heart set on playing in the O.
Well, you're the middle child. You've got an older brother, a younger sister, but you're the only hockey player. How did this whole hockey journey begin? We mentioned your dad. He oversees officiating for the OHL, so it's kind of in your blood to be a hockey player, but you're the only one that's playing right now. So how'd this all start for you?
Yeah, well, I took skating lessons when we were still in the States. That was when I was like, you know, 3, 4, and then started playing Timbits when we came to Canada. And then when it came to trying out for, like, you know, what level, like, I think my parents had asked me, and I was like, well, let's start at the top and go from there. So tried out for AAA and novice, and then was fortunate enough to play with the same organization the whole way up. And then, you know, as I got older, I, you know, made the decision to, you know, stop playing lacrosse in the summers and, you know, focus on it full time.
So you said lacrosse. I always like to ask guys other sports that you played as a kid, hockey, lacrosse, anything else?
Yeah, it was like when we were much younger, we all played soccer. Like, just, you know, that was what we played in the summers. And then I grew into playing lacrosse. So I'd play lacrosse in the summers. Love the sport. It was a lot of fun as a hockey player, you know, keep the physicality part of it. So no, it was fun. A lot of fun. And then that was pretty much it. Then I stopped playing in the summers to train for hockey.
What do you enjoy doing away from the rink?
I play the guitar. Yeah, I picked that up, honestly, when I got traded to Barrie. I bought one in Kingston like 5 days before I got traded, and I ended up becoming one of my hobbies away from the rink, and roped a bunch of guys into it in Saginaw. So no, it's fun. Yeah, so honestly, just enjoy that. Love kind of like fires, going to the cottage and stuff. Yeah,
maybe start a band as a second career or something. Do you sing at all when you play?
No, I can't sing. But
what's the genre that you tend to play?
Country. Yeah,
country. Okay, yeah, country's quite popular, as we all know, in the locker room. What are you looking most forward to about coming out to California and starting this next chapter?
I think just, yeah, meeting everyone. Obviously, as like a young hockey player, dream to be a professional player. So to be able to say that now is obviously a dream come true. But, you know, it's like a reset. Like, the work starts now again. And, no, I'm honestly just excited for the challenge, excited to meet everybody, you know, new teammates, new team, and kind of get settled there. And, yeah, it's going to be a blast. It's a dream come true. But, no, I'm definitely hungry and motivated.
When did it get on your radar that being a pro hockey player could be something that you had the ability to pursue in the future?
Yeah, like, I think, like, going into, like, your OHL draft year, like, obviously it's a dream of playing in the OHL. And, you know, that was something I had my eyes set on. Obviously pro was there, but that was the first step. And after I got drafted, and, you know, I played my 16-year-old year, and then obviously, like, it kind of came to reality that this was a shot when I got drafted to the NHL. Cause it's always the goal and it's always there, but it's such a, you know, you want it so bad, and when it actually is there in front of you and you can go to an NHL camp and actually feel like you have your feet under you, you know, then I was just like, that was, you know, going into the OHL, I was playing in the OHL, but once I got there and got drafted, it was like, you know, I've always dreamt of being a pro hockey player, but I want to be one like now. So, you know, but, and then that kind of grew throughout the years, and yeah, now we're here.
We're talking to Barracuda defenseman Braden Hache. Earlier this month, you win a Memorial Cup, then you signed a professional contract, probably a whirlwind little stretch for you. And obviously, you guys had to enjoy yourselves after winning that championship. It's a long, drawn-out season. You got to celebrate with all your teammates. You're back training again. You've got development camp coming up in the next couple of weeks. So just lay it out for us. How does the summer shake out for you? When do you plan on coming out to San Jose?
Yeah. So I spent about a week in Saginaw after we had won, and back home in the swing of things, kind of getting ready for development camp now. And so I'll fly out there on the 30th, super excited. And then, just summer of training and a little bit of relax on the weekends and stuff, and getting ready for what'll be a really fun year. So haven't gotten information on the September departure yet, but I would assume early September I'll be headed that way again. So, super excited.
Well, we're excited to have you. It'll be fun to meet you in person. We appreciate you taking the time. Again, we want to welcome you to the organization, congratulate you on just a perfect way to finish your junior career. One little piece of advice: it's getting pretty hot this time of year. Make sure to bring your sunglasses for development camp. You'll need them when you step out of the cold rink. But Braden Hache, can't thank you enough for the time. Again, welcome aboard, and look forward to meeting you in the next couple of weeks.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
A big thank you to Barracuda defenseman Braden Hache for joining us on this edition of CUDA Confidential. For the entire Barracuda organization, I'm Nick Nolenberger saying thanks for listening and so long until next time.